You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are continuing the summer school series, Art of the Session. And I have been informed by the curriculum people in my life, the people that map out all of my podcasts for me and say, okay, this week you're talking about this. We are halfway through this series. So this is actually a very long series, but I'm excited about that. And thank you for the feedback. I'm glad that you all have been finding this helpful. Art of the Relationship is something that we should read every single year. And my hope is that these Art of the Session episodes are something that we might go back and listen to every single year, because this is stuff that we need refreshers on. We need to be reminded of the basics. And sometimes there's stuff that we had never connected before or we had never put together. So excited that you all have been enjoying this and benefiting from this. All right. So today we are moving into reflecting feelings. We've been covering the three reflective responses. So we've done tracking behavior and reflecting content. And now we're on to reflecting feelings. Now, reflecting feelings happens to be the one that does double duty. So we have reflecting feelings in the reflective responses, and we have reflecting feelings in the pillars. So this one serves two purposes, if you will. But the intention behind this is that the child has a sense that we are so in tune that we are aware of what their experience is. Because reflecting content is, I've heard what you've said to me. Tracking behavior, I've seen what you've done. Reflecting feeling, I'm right here with you and I understand your experience. So there's more depth to reflecting feelings. Now, interestingly enough, this is the least used skill among the most highly trained CCPTs. Reflecting feeling is the least used skill, no matter what your training is in CCPT. And that's fascinating to me. I would argue it's probably a lack of emotional vocabulary on the part of the clinician. You have to have a pretty robust emotional vocabulary yourself to be able to reflect feelings in the playroom beyond happy, sad, mad, scared. And when I did my advanced reflecting feelings workshop, it was really interesting how many people that attended said, I'm going to start studying emotions more as a result of that. So that could be the reason. Maybe there are others as well. But we know that it's the least used skill, even among the most highly trained clinicians. So when we think about reflecting feelings, we are going to focus on the child's emotions. That makes sense. Even though theoretically feelings and emotions are different. We talked about that in the advanced course too, but that's way too complicated for this episode. So we're going to reflect the child's feelings. Yet, we are also going to reflect desires, needs, wishes, intentions. That's kind of a subset of the reflective responses. We reflect emotions, but there are other things that we can reflect as well. And it doesn't really fit into another category. It doesn't go into reflecting content. It doesn't go into tracking behavior. So I want to talk about it just because I want you all to be aware. The desires, needs, wishes, and intentions of a child are also worth reflecting. You really wish you could do that. You would love whatever. Oh, you're hoping that that will happen. There's reflecting other things as well. So be aware that that's kind of a related to the reflecting feelings piece, the desires, needs, wishes, intentions. But specifically today, the reflecting of emotions, it's a very simple formula. You the emotion and you either stop there or you add the qualifier. So you're proud. That is a sentence in total, in completion. You can also add the explanation after that. You're proud you hit the bullseye. But you hit the bullseye is optional. You're proud will suffice. And it's up to you based on the circumstance and the moment and the child and the emotion probably, whether or not it makes sense to just leave it at you and the emotion or add the optional ending. The reason why we decide which one is more important is because sometimes it hits more if we just say, you're mad. But sometimes a child needs to understand the bigger picture. So you're mad that we only have 1 minute left. You need to figure out when to use which one. They're both reflecting feelings, and it's just whether or not we need more than just you and the emotion. All right, second thought. I've talked about this a lot, but probably not enough. And how can you talk about something a lot, but still not enough? We need more of this is the point. Do not fill. Please do not fill, not for my sake, but for your children's sake. Please do not fill your reflecting of feelings with fluff words. It's just you are emotion. It's not you look, you seem, you feel, you must be. We don't need any of those things. It's just you're excited. You must be so excited. You seem so excited. You look so excited. It's unnecessary fluff and filler. And it takes away from the focus of the sentence, which is helping the child have a word that adults use to describe what they're feeling, a la an emotional vocabulary. You're giving them the word that adults use to explain and describe what they're experiencing in that moment. And the more words you fill around that, the less likely they are to help that build them an emotional IQ and vocabulary. So eliminate the fluff words from your reflections. It's just you are the emotion. And here's another caution. Don't make leaps based on the child's behavior. In other words, just because the child is curled up on mom's lap in the lobby and is choosing not to come back to the playroom at that moment, unless the child has made it very clear verbally, or you can clearly see the emotion non-verbally, we would not say something like, you're scared to come back to the playroom. If we don't see fear, if the child has not communicated that in some way, we don't want to make that leap. Likewise, kid starts kicking and punching and smacking Bobo, we don't want to say, you're angry. You're hitting him as hard as you can. Is he angry? If he has a look on his face of anger, we could reflect that. But the behavior itself is not enough to make the leap toward the emotion. In the lobby scenario, that might be an opportunity to reflect something else, a desire, a need, or a wish. In the hitting Bobo scenario, might be appropriate to reflect a desire, a need, a wish, or an intention. And be mindful that just because a behavior is taking place, it does not necessarily get associated with an emotion. We have to safeguard against making that jump, because often when we do, kids look at us like, what? And you know that you just kind of made a presumption that was not accurate. And we want to try to avoid that. Your tone of voice and your facial expression are huge in this skill. Your tone of voice should be appropriate for the feeling that you're reflecting. Your facial expression should be appropriate for the feeling you're reflecting. And generally speaking, if it is a more positive emotion, your tone of voice would be higher and your face would be positive. In other words, with a little bit of a smile, with a sort of happy look on your face. Like, you don't need to, you know, be smiling ear to ear, but it should look like you are sharing in the positive emotion with the child with a higher tone of voice. With a negative emotion, you're going to have a lower tone of voice and your face is going to be either flat and neutral or a small degree of whatever the child is experiencing. So if the child feels defeated, for example, we could have a look of defeat on our face to a lesser degree. If the child is angry or frustrated, we could have a frustrated or angry look on our face to a lesser degree. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer, remember? Rule of thumb. So we're going to make sure that we're not to the level that the child is, but it is still congruent with the child's experience. What you absolutely do not want to have happen is you're reflecting a negative emotion and you sound pleasant. Or you're reflecting a positive emotion and you sound indifferent. So let me demonstrate what that would look like. If one of us were to say, you're really angry about that, that makes someone more angry. It feels so disingenuous. It feels so incongruent. Or likewise, child is really gleeful and jumping around and all over the place happy. And we say, you're pleased. It just doesn't fit. So we have to make sure that our nonverbals are really involved in this process of reflecting feelings, because in general, nonverbal communication is far more impactful than verbal communication anyway. I think 90% of what's communicated is nonverbal. So that is important just in the grand scheme of things, but specifically for children and the emotional vocabulary build and the emotional IQ build. This is all part of the process for them. So we are intentional about those things. All right, so we've now finished the reflective responses segment. We are going to move into the pillars next. And my hope is that as we're going through this, you are realizing there's a very small, short list of things that we do in the playroom. And it makes it feel more manageable and something that we can absolutely be adherent, because there's only so many things that we're going to say and do in the play sessions. So as we walk through this, I believe that you all will feel more confident, which is my hope. All right. So really quickly, if you all are interested in the six-figure coaching program that begins on August 28th, so many of you have scheduled discovery calls with me that I may end up being either on a wait list or having a second group. So y'all are really interested in these coaching programs, which I'm really excited about. So we do have a couple weeks left. If you are interested, please sign up. Like I said, I may end up having a wait. I may end up starting a second group. I'm not sure what that looks like. Just wanted to let you know that August 28th, we will be starting a new group Thursdays at 5 Eastern. So go to playtherapynow.com if you want to schedule that. Also, I have been thinking a lot about my schedule lately, if you will. I've had so many of you say, when do you sleep? When do you eat? How do you function? How do you have so much energy? You are so busy, blah, blah, blah. I get that almost every time I talk to somebody. And I just want to say a few things about that not to reassure you, just to communicate something that I think you know, you all need to hear. I am really busy. I do have a lot going on. I always say I have a lot of balls in the air that I'm juggling. But I want you all to know I am so deeply fulfilled with every single thing that I do. And when you love what you do, it's not draining and it's not exhausting and it doesn't feel like work and it's not a burden. And I don't feel that way. I love every bit of what I do for CCPT and everything that I'm doing. It's fulfilling to me. So thank you for giving me opportunities to do the things that I love. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for coaching with me. Thank you for joining the collective. Thank you for your emails and your messages. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do the things that I absolutely love. And I do sleep well. I do sleep. That's the common question. Do you sleep? I do. I'm a good sleeper. I promise you. I get more than 8 hours every night. But thank you for caring about CCPT in such a way that it allows me to pour into CCPT the way that I do. I love every single component of my schedule, and I love you all. So wanted to let you know, just in case you were losing sleep over me not sleeping. All right. We'll talk soon. Love y'all. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.